This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Song dedicated to a very great lady. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday, July the 15th already. Wow. We will be talking in a few minutes. It's actually July the 18th. I apologize. You know what? A little inside baseball. I print the same sheet, but I changed the dates, and I forgot to change the date. July the 18th. In a few minutes, Aaron Withy, he will really be here, of the Freedom Foundation. And we're going to talk about how America's largest teachers union favors left-wing wokeism now over education. Really? Scary. We'll talk about it with him. And Florida Senator Rick Scott predicts a bloodbath for Democrats in November. But here's the question. Is that really true? Do we really know that? We're going to get some thoughts on it from the Ceresi brothers, both Andrew and Angelo Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And confidence in the media, both print and electronic, now at a record low. And I mean, it's been bad. Wait till you hear the latest numbers. We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most polluted countries in the world. What do I think of when I say the most polluted countries? They drink a lot? No. We're talking about pollution in the sky, in the air, the water, the food, the whole bit. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, we're in the middle of summer, and you want to look good, and you want to feel good. You don't want that heat beating down on your hair. Get over there to Andrew's. Get the best haircut you can get. Look great. Feel good. It's in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And please don't forget to listen to the Senior Voice America show. It precedes ours. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger, and some very nice women joining them all the time. 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, so I watch a lot of these shows during Sunday, these kind of like Meet the Press and Fox News Sunday and the CBS program from time to time. And they get these people that come on from the White House. And these days, they must have to memorize an alibi. They must have an alibi sheet when they sit down to talk with these hosts of these shows. Jared Bernstein, he's a member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, was making the rounds. He admitted yesterday that inflation is, quote, unacceptably high, while stressing that Biden would not back down on climate change spending. Oh, good. Now, what will it take for Biden to forget about climate change spending initiatives when everybody and everything in this country is thinking we're going to hell in a handbasket? And he still goes up and talks about the green energy initiatives? How does that make any sense? How are they going to get a single vote out of that kind of a philosophy? So this guy goes on and he's talking about, you know, how it's not really as bad as things look. But he was asked on Fox News Sunday, how did the White House get all this so wrong, you know, about inflation and bad things? And the guy goes, well, and this is, again, Bernstein from the Economic Advisors. Well, that actually was the dominant forecast at the time. In other words, that things were going to get better. The dominant forecast. Where was it, the dominant forecast? Everybody could see inflation was not going to get better. Biden would stand up there and say, it's a temporary thing. Don't worry about it. It's a little glitch. It's a little glitch. Even what's her name from the Fed? Janet Yellen? Wasn't she saying that too? They didn't know what the heck they were talking about. Anyway, so Biden is now back from his Mideast trip. I guess we can be happy, Ed, that it wasn't a complete disaster. Were you the one that said he should have come walking out of the airplane with two cans of gasoline after the...
No, two empty 5-gallon gas cans. He's got off Air
Force
One. You
know, that visual is really good, I must admit. That's pretty good. I have to give you credit. Every once in a while...
It would just break the ice out there, you know?
Well, speaking of...
Look, we know why you're here, okay? That's what the Saudis are saying. Well, look, don't give us a crap you had to stop and get your prescriptions filled or something over here. We know why you're here.
You're right. Now, speaking of the Mideast, Tehran, capital of Iran, is technically capable now, listen to this, of making a nuclear bomb. This is from the Jerusalem Post. The Israelis believe that Iran is now capable of making a nuclear bomb, but has yet to decide whether to build it. Now, who's the first country that Iran would send a nuclear bomb to?
Israel.
Exactly. I'm thinking that Israel will not wait for the United States to act.
You know why? Because...
That's what's kind of scary, because you know that Israel has a nuclear capability.
Do you know when the rest of the world is going to take Iran seriously? When it's too late.
Yeah, that's right. But not Israel.
No.
I must tell you
they've
that
made no bones about it.
I kind of feel good about the fact that Israel has a nuclear weapon, because they will provide the check that Biden would not right now. Iran doesn't probably...
Well, you don't have a choice, do you? I mean, if somebody fires a nuke at your country, you have to return in kind.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You have to.
So that may be the one thing that's keeping Iran from doing
it. You know, you can hope to do is shoot theirs out of the air.
Yeah.
You know?
That may be the one thing that Israel is now standing in the way of nuclear warfare, if you think about it. I mean, let's face it, we got some scary situations with Russia in the Ukraine. Nuclear weapons are always in the closet there. We got it now with Iran, according to the Jerusalem Post. It says here, Tehran will also directly respond against Israel should its security be targeted. It says here, one of these Iranian people that's in leadership. In a few days, we were able to enrich uranium up to 60%, and we can easily produce 90% enriched uranium. Iran has the technical means to produce a nuclear bomb, but there has been no decision by Iran to build one. And I thought that Obama Biden and all of these different trips and the suitcases of money, do you remember that?
Remember the crate?
All that was going to slow down the building of a nuclear weapon there?
Remember the crate of cash that was being wheeled out. And you know who's going to slide into the radar next? Is that chubby little kid in North Korea.
Yes. Our North Korean leader. Our he's called Dear Leader, by the way.
I'm telling you, this is when
treat him with respect.
This is when it happens when your head is turned and looked in the other direction. This is when things happen.
When the cat's away, the mice will play, and we're not focusing on things like that. Wasn't it amazing that Trump was able to juggle so many of those things in his hand? I mean it. He was over in Israel. He was over in North Korea. And he was, you know, people laughed at him in the media to some extent.
Well, you got to remember.
And remember when he crossed over the line and he shook the hands of the North Korean dictator, right, and all of that, and people were laughing at, right, him. And you know what? Things were quiet.
Quiet? Under control?
They were under control. The only noise was coming from Trump and Twitter. And other than that, things were pretty good.
I know he was criticized for things that he said about Iran, the way he put it. I mean, he made it quite clear. If Iran doesn't stop, it will be the parking lot formerly known as Iran.
Yeah. And you know what? I think he kept us. He kept Putin from invading Ukraine at the time as well. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk with Aaron Withy of the Freedom Foundation about how America's largest teachers' unions favor wokeism over education.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday. I'm delighted to have Aaron Withy join us. He is the CEO of Freedom Foundation. It's an organization devoted to, quite frankly, making things a little bit better when it comes to the education of our kids, among other things. In fact, he leads a campaign, a national campaign, at the foundation to free public employees from what he calls union bondage. Aaron, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely our pleasure. This is so important. I hope that this whole educational thing doesn't get lost in all of the other things that are going on right now in our country and around the world as well. But it is indeed the thing that maybe scares me the most in the long run, and that is that our kids are coming out of these, not just in college now, but in high school and also in grade school, with, I think, a rather perverted concept of the greatness of America. I wanted you to possibly make a little comment on that.
Yeah, I think that's putting it lightly. Both of the two major teachers' unions had their annual conventions last week. And you look at what was on their agenda, masking our kids, keeping school closed, critical race theory, defunding police, sex ed, getting rid of the filibuster. I mean, you go through the list of things that these unions are talking about that are not educating our children. It's shocking that we're having these conversations after what we've seen in the last 2 years, and even liberal institutions like Harvard coming out and saying that shutting down schools was a terrible thing for kids' education and also their mental health. The bottom line is these unions, these teachers' unions, they don't care about educating our children. They care about bringing up the next generation of liberal voters to go out and pursue their radical agenda.
Yeah, it's so scary. I mean, even here in the state of Florida, we finally passed it. Well, we passed a bill that keeps teachers from discussing sexual gender transformation and the like in grades 1 through 3. And there's a howl about that from some of these unions and some of these groups that that seem to support this wokeism. And it just becomes almost, I don't know, it becomes, we have lost our way in the purpose of educating our kids.
Yeah, it's completely sick. I think what happened in Florida was the teachers' union showing that they did not want to give up power. They want to be in control of what's going on in the classroom and not parents. And they'll go as far as to say that sex ed is part of that agenda when it's completely inappropriate, especially when you look at first and second graders. The American Federation of Teachers just released an internal poll that said 9 out of 10 teachers say schools are being too politicized, and 40% of them are thinking about leaving their job in the next couple of years. So I think what we're seeing is a complete disconnect between the teachers that are out in the classrooms actually delivering the education and the teachers' unions that want to be in control of that.
Okay, so we're talking actually about the leaders of these unions. And when you say 9 out of 10 teachers are feeling that way, that kind of makes me feel good. I didn't realize that many teachers could see what union leaders might be trying to do to them with these things. So what do we do with it, Aaron? Other than people like you that are pushing for more accountability in the classroom and a better sense of what they should be teaching these kids, are we going about it the right way?
The number one thing we can do is every teacher, well, most teachers in America pay around $1,100 a year in union dues to two of the largest teachers' unions in America. The number one thing that those teachers can do is opt out of their unions and stop paying those union dues. For decades, these unions have taken this money from them and used it to pursue a radical political agenda, and it's made them some of the biggest political contributors in America. This is money that belongs in the pocket of these teachers and out of the union's radical political agenda. So teachers listening, they can go to optouttoday.com and opt out of their unions and stop paying these absurd amount of union dues that is going to a radical political agenda.
Indeed. We're talking with Aaron Wythe. He is the chief executive officer of Freedom Foundation, and he's on a bit of a mission. In a way, I would say that you're kind of trying to out the leaders of these unions like the NEA, and you should be, for what they are trying to do. And, of course, from the top on down. You know, Aaron, you hear a lot about some teachers that end up suing because they don't want any of their money that they pay for union dues to go towards, as an example, funding Democratic or whatever it is, politicians. And certain Democratic or policies that personally they so and in a lot of court cases they're winning, are they not? They the courts are saying, you're right, you know, this is a political agenda by your union, and you should not have to be forced to pay into it for that.
Yes, there was an amazing U.S. Supreme Court decision a few years ago in 2018 called Janus v. AFSCME, and what Janus said, what the courts decided in Janus was that no public employee in America should be forced to be a member of a union and give union dues to that union. The reason they decided that was because they said everything a government union does is inherently political. When you're taking money from these public employees and using it to represent them in collective bargaining, while at the same time you're paying for the campaigns of the people that you're putting at the opposite side of the bargaining table, these liberal politicians, then everything you do is inherently political. So following that decision, now every public employee in America can actually opt out of their unions and stop paying these union dues, and they'll lose nothing that is in their contract.
Right. We've got charter schools. We've got private schools. The unions don't have a clenched fist around those entities. I'm sure that... that people that it scares the hell out of these union leaders to see that a lot of these private and charter schools are filling up with students. Are unions becoming obsolete in as far as education is concerned? Is it slowly working its way through that we are becoming more and more, let's say, free of the union grip when it comes to education?
Yeah, it's certainly shifting. Unions' power is declining. It's not as quick as I would like, but their influence from politics is becoming lesser and lesser. And you recognize that one of the main reasons is because parents are taking their kids out of failing public schools, and in states like Florida and Arizona, which newly just passed a law that allowed people to do this, they can take their kids into a private school or a charter school, or they can homeschool them, and the state will give them the dollars that they need to go and get their kids educated that would have been spent on the public school. So it really gives parents the option to get their kids a better education. So we're my opinion is that we're going to see more and more of that go across America.
Excellent. Go across America. You mentioned here that the American Federation of Teachers came out with a poll, and it said that 9 out of 10 respondents say schools have become too political. But this is what gets me. 40% say they may leave the job as teachers in the next 2 years. 40%?
It's staggering. Yeah, my wife is a public school teacher, and she tells me what teachers are feeling out there.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, bottom line is they're too politicized. They're pushing an agenda that isn't benefiting the kids. If you're a teacher today, you didn't go to school to teach critical race theory or sex ed. You went in to go teach reading, writing, and math, and you came in to educate the next generation of workers, not pursue this radical liberal agenda. So there's this total disconnect, and the unions have so much power in our schools today. That until that power is eradicated, then I think we're going to see this. We're going to see teachers continue on this path.
You know, the good thing has been also, and I think you touched on it, that parents are showing up at these school boards. They didn't even know where the school board, you know, a couple of years ago, when and where these school board hearings were being held. Now they're showing up. Now they're wanting to be involved in the curriculum. They're standing up for books that might be, that they feel shouldn't be maybe available in the school libraries. And they maybe some of them now want to even sit in the back room and just listen, you know, to the teacher teach. I mean, it's kind of, in a way, I think maybe the pendulum really is starting to swing back where the people are starting to take control again of the education of their kids.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's probably the best thing that came out of COVID was parents really got engaged in their kids' education. And as you recognize, they started going to these school board meetings, and they also started voting. I mean, you look at what happened in Virginia in that governor's race, Glenn Youngkin, I see that election as really a fight against teachers' unions because they were the main advocate of Youngkin's opponent. I think that we're seeing parents wake up across America. I think that will continue into the midterms because they're not going to forget what the teachers' unions did, and they're certainly not going to be open when the teachers' unions are campaigning for these radical liberal politicians.
Indeed. So, Aaron, tell us again a little bit about the Freedom Foundation, how people can become more involved in learning about it.
So go to thefreedomfoundation.com, sign up to our social media, subscribe to our weekly emails, and if you're a public employee listening, go to optouttoday.com and learn about how you can opt out of your union, stop paying these union dues. All it takes is free clicks on our website.
OptOutToday.com and the Freedom Foundation. Aaron Wythe, thank you so very much for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Aaron Wythe. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Senator Rick Scott says we're going to have a bloodbath for Democrats in November. But here's the question. Is that really true? Are we absolutely positive? We're going to get some thoughts on it from the Ceresi brothers, both Andrew and Angelo, right after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, middle of the month. Freedom Works, we thank you so very much for joining us. Well, almost all voters are worried about inflation. Large numbers continue to rate the economy negatively. We got a new Fox News survey. It finds both Democrats and Republicans equally motivated to vote, and that if the midterms were held today, 41% would back the Democratic candidate and 44% the Republican. But that three-point edge is a little skewed, because I don't think it really measures how many people that are motivated that might not be normally going out to vote are going to go. I think there are going to be more motivated, let's say, Republican types to go out than there will be Democrats. And I'm betting that you're going to see that there's a wider span than just 3% on that. In the meantime, Senator Rick Scott was making the rounds. Remember him? He was our governor here in Florida. He's our senator now. He's confident that the Republicans will be successful in November's midterm elections and also retake control of the Senate. Well, I wonder if that'll really occur. And we've got both of the brothers Ceresi with us, both Andrew and Angelo, to talk a little bit about it. Guys, Angelo, let me ask you. I mean, are we a little bit too confident as conservatives and possibly Republicans that, we're just going to sweep through? Do the Republicans have to have, a better message than just sitting back and going, I'm not a Republican? I mean, I'm not a Democrat?
Well, you got to get on message and keep asking people, are you better off today than you were yesterday?
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, under President Ronald Reagan.
You're right.
And they have to stay on that message. They have to keep pounding that into the public. Are you better off today? Are you better off with the inflation? Are you better off at the grocery store? Are you better off at the bank saving money? Are you better off paying your bills because the interest rates are going up? You know what I'm saying? Do you need a washing machine? Can you buy it? No, because there's nothing in the supply chain. There's nothing. I mean, they keep raising the interest rates. You know, I mean, they're going to hurt the economy.
Yeah. Andrew, I'm wondering if Republicans should stand up and say, look, you elect me, I'm going to make sure that we close the southern border. I'm going to make sure that we're going to open up the pipelines again. You know, those pipelines that Biden shut down. I'm going to make sure that we make it easier for these oil companies to drill. I'm going to bring back fracking. I'm going to stop talking about the green energy because that's not something that's even possible right now. Your thought?
Well, Paul, it's very simple. In the old days, they said you don't have two nickels to rub together. And you know what? That goes for today. And the Republicans are speaking up about what they're going to do. However, they really don't have to speak because their pocket is talking to them. Okay? Yep. And their pocket's saying, there's nothing in here. I can't afford this no more. What's the deal? What's going on?
Right.
And the fact is, Biden and the Democrats, period.
Yeah, no, I agree. But do you think that Republicans should sort of sit back on that alone, or should they be a little more offensive?
They need to be more aggressive.
Aggressive.
Go after them. There's no... they need to be more
And they
aggressive.
Do. They need to have a message. I mean, should they not be singing about, hey, we're going to finish that wall, and you know, we're going to open up those pipelines? I mean...
That's right. But you know, Paul, you still got to realize, you said the magic number, 41% of these Democrats still believe they're the Kennedy Democrats, and they're not. But they will vote Democrat just because they're Democrats.
Yeah. And the question is whether or not a lot of them will be motivated. I don't know that that number is you know, when I hear it, I go, what? Is it only a 3% difference? Should be like a 40% difference, right?
It should be. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And again, Paul, people are feeling it, and I don't care. They could care less about the war in Ukraine, except that we're sending them billions of dollars while the people here are hungry and can't afford diapers or can't get them. Now, you also got to realize, too, that law that went into effect in California last week, where the drivers of trucks, independent owners, if their trucks are 11 years or older, they can't run them.
Really?
And, yeah, they're saying that 84,000 truckers will be out of work.
I did not know that.
That's right, which means the supply chain is going to be hurting big time.
Oh, we can't.
Within 7 weeks, Paul.
You're kidding.
No.
No, that's very scary. I didn't read that. I mean, I thought that hopefully, somehow, we were getting that stuff off those boats out there and getting them onto the trucks. I thought maybe we were starting to slow, starting to restock.
No. Governor Gruesome passed this law, I'm going to say, about 4 or 5 months ago that went into effect last week.
Oh, my God.
With these truckers. See, these trucks, I mean, they last millions of miles, Paul. These guys rebuild the engines and everything. You're talking $300,000 for a unit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
So they rebuild them, and this FEL additive that they've got to put into the regular diesel trucks, they're running out of, and they're not going to be able to run because of Governor Newsom's laws.
Oh, my God. So, Andrew...
Governor Newsom is going to be the one hanging this country.
And Governor Newsom, says my sister would call him. You call him Gruesome. She calls him Nuisance. And she's out there in California. This guy wants to be president. And I'm going to ask you, Angelo. Mm-hmm. He's running ads, Angelo. I don't know if he's running them in New York, but he's running them in Florida. And he has the nerve to ask people in Florida to think about relocating to the great state of California, where they'll really have some freedom. No, I'm not kidding. He's running them here.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah, he's running them here. And he also thinks he's going to possibly be, and he might be, the Democratic presidential candidate. I want to get your thought.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, if the Democratic Party, well, you got a bunch of nuts running it anyway, and you got the goofy people in California who voted him back in, right, when they had a recall, and California's going through all that stuff with brownouts, you know, because of their electrical grid and all this and that. If they, you know, hey, he must think that the people in the country want him because he beat the recall back in the fall, remember?
Yes, I do.
And somehow, in his mind, he thinks that he's really popular across the country.
We're talking with the Ceresi brothers, Andrew and Angelo. Andrew here in Florida. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky, he's up in Rochester, New York. Speaking of Rochester, New York, Angelo, are things pretty opened up again, or are they expecting another wave of the COVID, or what's going on?
Talking about that thing, you know, the COVID and the monkeypox and maybe wearing masks again, you know, you hear that all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we got this governor that is trying to fight the Supreme Court on the Second Amendment and this and that.
Yep.
I don't know, she's going crazy.
Yeah,
all these new laws.
Tell us a little bit about her chances of winning re-election. Now, she, correct me if I'm wrong, is she going to be up for election again in November, or is that...
Yes, she's up for election. She was appointed, well, I mean, she took over as governor when Cuomo resigned
right
in August. And
so she's up for election. Okay.
She's up for election. She's mm-hmm. running for election. And
what do the polls look like up there? What do the polls look like? Are they? Is the Republican? What does it look like? The chances for a Republican victory?
Well, this would be our only chance right now if if Congressman Lee Zeldin, who won the Republican nomination, can defeat her. I mean,
does he have a chance? Do you think?
I mean, this thing that she signed into law, if every person who has a pistol permit in New York State and believes in the Second Amendment and everything else like that, if they were to go out and vote, she'll lose.
So that's a big issue for...
That's a big issue
okay.
for New York State.
Sounds good. Andrew, I am getting a whole bunch of Kevin Hazlett mailers, and they're very good. I must say, you know, they talk about finishing the wall, securing the border, no amnesty. And also, when you turn it over on the other side, they've got this very scary-looking, witch-like picture of Anna Paulina Luna. So he's really going after her. Is she the one that he's worried about when it comes to the primary in the Republican?
Well, you know, out of anything, Paul, just because she's pushing... The Trump endorsement. She isn't going to any debates. She's actually doing a Biden campaign.
Remember she's sitting back on her laurels in the basement.
She's just sitting back in the basement, going on being a veteran and a Trump endorsement.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I tell everybody, Trump endorsed her before the final people who were involved in this race got in. Okay.
Yes.
Now, when Trump endorses somebody, you usually hear him talking about him. I have not heard Trump mention her name once anytime he's ever spoken.
Now, that's interesting. Now, we, as you know, we had Kevin Hazlett. Now, and for those who don't know, he's running for the 13th congressional seat here in Florida, replacing Charlie Crist, who is trying to run for governor again. Against Ron DeSantis. That's going to be a failed effort. Ron DeSantis is so popular right now. But the talk, Andrew, is that there's a little bit of a rift, possibly, between Trump and Ron DeSantis, because maybe Trump is a little worried that Ron DeSantis wants to be president. And now they're talking about whether or not Trump should announce if he's going to run for president before November. I'm wondering if he should wait until after November election to even say anything.
Definitely should. But you know what I'm anxious to see, Paul? First of all, two things. Remember you were talking about Newsom running his ads here.
Right.
Did you see Governor DeSantis' answer to him? He said, I've lived in Florida all my life, and I can tell you I see more California license plates in the state than I ever have in my life.
Yes.
And I can guarantee you I go to California, you're not going to see too many Florida licenses.
No, you're not. You're absolutely right. They're all coming this way. And they're either stopping in Texas or continuing on to Florida.
Now, what I'm anxious to see is this Thursday and Friday and the debates they're going to have in Hollywood, Florida. The big debates over Congressional 13. The candidates are going to be there.
Okay.
Mark Levin.
Yeah.
Going to be the host.
Yeah.
So you know how he's going to be. This guy's a constitutionalist.
He is.
Okay.
Mark Levin.
I'm anxious to see if Anna Paulina shows up. Okay. This is supposed to be televised, too, which I can't wait to see it.
When is it scheduled for?
It's a Thursday or Friday. It actually starts on the 22nd and 23rd.
Okay. Okay. Today's the 18th, so that's four or 5 days away. Okay.
Right.
Well, I want to see that.
Whoever wins this debate is who Governor DeSantis is going to back.
Mark Levin is great. I listen to him. He does a show on Fox News, I believe, every Sunday. And it's really something. And he talks the Constitution. He's been hammering this January 6th committee as a complete circus. But a very interesting guy. Very, I agree with you on him.
You know what might come out of this, Paul? Now, if Kevin Hazlett comes ahead and Ron DeSantis backs him, where Luna is Trump-endorsed, let's see who has more pull in the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis or President Trump.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. You're right about that. Angelo, So things are kind of up for grabs there in New York a little bit. I wonder how red it might go in November with all those congressional districts. I'll bet there's a lot of Democrats in New York State that are kind of quaking in their boots.
They are. They're worried, you know. But, I mean, you know, the thing is you worry about is New York City. Upstate New York will be red, always is. It's when you get downstate to, like, New York City, the boroughs there and everything else, they've always gone Democratic. And
yes, they have.
I don't know why. I mean, New York State, I mean, the inflation is killing us up here.
Sure.
You know, you can't.
It's like that, though, in every major city, Angelo. Chicago's the same way inside of the city of Chicago. It doesn't make any difference how bad a mayor we have in Chicago.
I know.
They keep voting Democratic. What are they thinking?
I have no idea what they're thinking. I mean, you go to the gas pump and you see they have those prices keep ching-chinging up there, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You know, in fact, I was at a Cars and Coffee with our cars 2 weeks ago. And one guy, he's a diehard Democrat, and he said, I voted for Biden. I'll never vote for a Democrat again. They destroyed this country. I says, oh, wait a minute. People like you I can blame for my pocket,
Yeah, but you don't want to blame him to his face. He's becoming a Republican.
Yeah, he says he's changing. A lot of people says they're changing to Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess over a million people.
Or becoming independents.
Or becoming independent, right. I just don't understand. When they see the squad on TV, how they talk, that you see that the basketball player that's in jail in Russia.
Yes, right? The black woman that is being jailed, yes.
Didn't she denounce our flag and take a kneel and all that stuff?
I don't think she...
She wants our...
No, no, I don't... Well, wait, I don't think she's the one that did that.
Did she do or no? I don't know.
No, I don't believe she did. You know what, Ed,
the whole WNBA that year took a knee.
Okay, but she wasn't a standout in that particular
issue. She blended in.
She did blend in. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
She stood in the locker room, guys.
She took a knee or not.
Okay.
You know, that's the question right there.
Yeah.
You took a knee and you're denouncing the United States.
If right.
You don't, then she's for the United States.
Right.
I don't know. You hear a lot of stuff on it and you don't know what the truth is.
No, you're right. And the NBA has been very woke. And the WNBA has been very woke. Let's be honest about it. They're turning off a lot of people. And
just this wokeness stuff, you know. But, I mean, you know, when you denounce the United States and you want the United States to help you, well,
here's
you get these people that denounce the United States, go live in those countries like Russia.
And also...
And communist China, you know?
I have a motto for the NBA and WNBA. If you're going to stay woke, you're going to go broke.
That's right.
Guys, it is a pleasure, as always, to have both of you on Mondays. Thank you so very much. And Andrew, God willing, we'll be talking again on Wednesday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
God bless America.
God bless America. Thanks, buddy. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, confidence in the media, print and electronic. It's in the toilet. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network, for which we are very grateful. However, if you cannot listen live, thanks to Ed, all our shows are on podcast. So just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. So, Ed, I get the Tampa Bay Times Sunday newspaper. They only print now on Sundays and Wednesdays. And, it's, you know, it's almost a pamphlet now. It's kind of sad. But they're slowly going to go out of business. Everything's going electronic. But newspapers and the electronic media, the confidence in what people are reading in there is at the pretty much all-time lowest. Just 16%, that's 16% of adults now say they have a great deal or a lot of confidence in newspapers. But in TV news, only 11% have any confidence in it.
Well, that's because, like our very own Tampa Bay Pravda Reg and some of our news outlets, they don't report news. They pick a side. And then they give you their interpretation of it and their opinion of it.
You know, I never see, for instance, I always look, too, in the Tampa Bay Times. I never see a story about the Hunter Biden laptop. Never.
No.
But, boy, do I see stories about the January 6th
Or the ramping
committee.
Up of everything DeSantis now. Everything DeSantis.
Oh, DeSantis is the villain of the state.
Yeah.
According to them.
They've got Charlie Crist writing articles in the Tampa Bay Pravda. Give me a break.
It says here, only Congress has a lower rating than TV news, by the way, in the public. And listen to this. You know how many Republicans have confidence in newspapers? 5%. 5%! 95%. You can't get 95% agreement on anything.
Like I said, it all comes back to, in the old days, they reported the news. They gave you the news. And, you know, I still remember a long time ago, I think it was Channel 13, before they were even Fox, and John Wilson was on
there. I remember
there.
John Wilson.
And, you know, they would report the news, and in the last 2 minutes of the nightly broadcast, he would have his editorial. And he would give you his views. And I guess a writer said, you know, wrote into him, said, you know, what gives you the right to take up our 2 minutes with your... And he said, well, listen, I'm giving you my views of what's going on, and you clearly have the choice to turn it off.
And they also separated it from the hardcore journalism.
Exactly. It was at the end of the broadcast.
I remember those days when, you know, a guy would come on and it would say commentary.
It would say editorial, whatever.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, if you didn't like it, shut it off.
Exactly. All right. Before we get to our top 10, we have a good one. A very good, a very appropriate one, too. But, Ed, is there anything going on in the sports world other than that poor,
well,
very tall, black basketball player that's still in the Huskow in Russia?
These are the two worst days in sports. There are no, the big three or the big four, NBA, NFL, hockey, and NBA, don't play a game.
That's right. They're on
hiatus. Before and after the All-Star game for Major League Baseball. So they're in a break.
We have no sports.
No sports.
No professional.
No, nothing until
sports.
Basically Friday.
Are we sneaking in any kind of softball game somewhere for women or something? Nothing's going on.
You give it to be a Jones and you can go on ESPN and watch blackjack poker.
Oh, I can't wait.
How did poker get to be a sport ESPN?
It's like chess.
Seriously.
You know, or something like that. They make it into a sport.
Bring on the badminton.
Badminton's more of a sport.
Badminton.
Oh, okay.
Badminton.
Badminton. All right, got it. All right, time for our top 10, Ed. Get over on the drums. This comes from, where does it come from? It comes from, okay, well, it says here, these are the top 10 world's most polluted countries as of 2021, measured by the annual average concentration of what they call PM2.5 in each country in micrograms divided by cubic meters. And if you understand what I just said, you're a better person than I am. But here we go. Number 10. The most top, the 10th most is Nepal. Nepal.
Wow.
Yeah, that's over there in Asia. And they've got 46 as their pollution index. All right. Number 9. Iraq.
Yeah, well, they don't care.
They don't care as much in Iraq, I guess. You know, we've kind of forgotten about Iraq. They haven't been in the news like they used to be. Anyway, they're at 49.7. Number 8. Here's another Mideast country, Bahrain. And I always think of energy production there, but it's also very polluted.
Mm.
They got to be more careful about that. Number 7. Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan. That's around Russia.
Yeah, one of those stands.
It's one of those stands around Russia. And you know, there's lots of oil. So there's a drilling there, too. But apparently they don't care much. And we're not talking about the biggest producers of oil. We're talking about the biggest polluted countries. Mm-hmm. So this is hanging over their countries. Number 6, Oman. Another energy produce country, right? Number 5, India. India is very bad. Pollution all over the place there.
Mm.
Second most populated country in the world. All right, number 4, Tajikistan, another one from Russia area. They got a lot of oil over there. In fact, that's about the only thing that I'm thinking now that Putin really has that he can sell to other countries is the oil that they can drill.
Mm.
All right, number 3, Pakistan. By the way, who would want to live in Pakistan?
It's just a dirty place.
It's a dirty place. It's next to India.
Have they ever seen green grass over there?
I'm wondering.
Every time I see it, it's nothing but dirt.
It's all dirt and cows.
Yeah.
Number 2.
The heck do the cows eat?
That's why there's no grass. They're eating all the grass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't you understand? Number 2 is Chad. That's in Africa.
Huh.
And it's very polluted over there. So these are the most polluted countries, except for one, Ed. I want to see if you know what number 1. I know what you're going to guess.
Probably going to be China.
I knew you would guess that.
Is that a yes?
And
or
I thought, well, I'm dragging it out because I'm looking at the clock. However, it is not China.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to give you another guess. Let me give you a hint. You remember I mentioned India, and I think I mentioned Pakistan. Think around that area.
Afghanistan? I don't know.
Afghanistan? Really? Well, yeah, that's not. No, it's not that close.
Mm.
No, it's Bangladesh.
Oh, geez, that was my next guess.
Oh yeah, Bangladesh has led the table of polluted countries in both 2020 and 2019, and although their emissions have decreased, it's not big enough to drop. It's not a big enough drop to halt the climate crisis and ensure the health of its citizens.
So, it's got to be pretty bad because every time they show like downtown China or whatever it is, it's Taiwan or whatever. You know, it's always smog and people got masks on.
Here's what I'm thinking though. Did you notice that it might be that the more geographically larger countries dissipate some of that pollution? Mm. You know, we're talking about this pollution hanging down over the entire country, kind of.
Hmm.
So there you go. We thank you so very much for being with us. We will indeed, hopefully, be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, be careful out there, and remember, the freedom works.